For the first time since Roe v. Wade was overturned 2 years ago, abortion is once again before the U.S. Supreme Court. The justices today heard a case that centers on access to the most widely used abortion pill, mifepristone. Outside, on the steps of the court, protesters marched, chanted, and waved signs. Inside, arguments focused on the FDA's approval of the drug, patient safety, and protections for doctors with moral objections to abortion care. NewsHour Supreme Court analyst Marcia Coyle was there, and she joins us now to break down the case. Marcia, so good to have you back, as always.
Good to be here with you.
One thing that we should note, this was not about the FDA's initial approval of mifepristone
many years ago.
This was about subsequent changes that the FDA made during the pandemic and otherwise to expand who could get it, when they could get it, and who could prescribe it.
Correct.
What was being argued, in essence, by the challengers to this?
Well, if you focus only on the merits, which had to do with the changes that were made in 2016 and 2021, the challengers believe that those changes have created a significant risk of harm to the women who take the pills, as well as are injuring doctors who have conscience objections to, especially emergency room doctors who may be forced to deal with the complications of the drug if it goes wrong for women. But really, William, the focus of the arguments, that they were dominated actually by this question of standing, whether the challengers themselves, which is an umbrella organization for anti-abortion doctors and dentists, whether those challengers really had the legal right to bring this challenge to the FDA in the first instance.
And the issue of standing is simply the legal principle that in order to bring a claim, I have to prove that I was somehow injured.
That's right.
That's the issue here.
Right.
In fact, on that point, I mean, two of the justices who seemed sympathetic to the challengers, Alito and Thomas, Alito brought up this issue of standing. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
How about a woman who suffers adverse consequences from having taken mifepristone? Would she be able to sue for damages? Well, you would say that's barred by sovereign immunity.
I expect that we would have sovereign immunity arguments in that kind of case.
Who, in your view, who would have standing to bring that suit?
I think that with respect to these regulatory changes, it's hard to identify anyone who would have standing to sue.
The American people have no remedy for that.
So explain a little bit. What is Alito arguing here?
Well, basically, he's saying that someone has to be able to challenge the FDA's action, and who can that be? But the truth is, the court has never said that someone has to be able to challenge a federal law. The standing requirements are what they are, and the U.S. Solicitor General representing the FDA today really kept focused on the challengers themselves and what she said and believed is a very hypothetical injury that is rarely going to occur based on voluminous studies done here at home and abroad about the safety and efficacy of the drug itself.
Because none of these doctors, if I remember correctly, were actually saying that they themselves had to care for someone in those circumstances.
That's right. The challengers have some declarations from a couple doctors that they believe show that they had to participate despite their conscience objections. Again, the government believes these are really not only hypothetical problems, but very attenuated from being traced back to the changes that the FDA made in 2016 and 2021.
I see, because that's what's essential here.
Right. As I
mentioned, the justices who were sort of seemed to line up against this argument that they were making argue that there is no evidence of this. Justice Jackson took issue with this, and she felt that the challengers were proposing a very unequal remedy. Let's listen to what she said.
So what they're asking for here is that in order to prevent them from possibly ever having to do these kinds of procedures, everyone else should be prevented from getting access to this medication.
So with respect to the premise of that question, Justice Jackson, I don't think our doctors necessarily are able to object.
Assuming we have a world in which they can actually lodge the objections that you say that they have, my question is, isn't that enough to remedy their issue? do we have to also entertain your argument that no one else in the world can have this drug?
Justice Jackson was reiterating something that Justice Kagan also said, that in the normal course, when you have an objection based on conscience, the court or the law will provide an exemption for you. And federal law, as the Solicitor General pointed out and emphasized several times, does protect objections based on conscience. The challengers, however, don't feel it's sufficient. They feel that in an emergency situation, doctors don't have time to raise an objection. However, Justice Jackson pointed out as well that most hospitals today have procedures, and objections based on conscience are known.
You have always cautioned me to never try to interpret from oral arguments what's going to actually happen. Yeah. I'm going to disregard your good advice and ask you, what is your sense of, from today's arguments, how this might go?
I think I would say I see a majority of justices who will rule in favor of the FDA, primarily on the standing question. I think that Justices Thomas and Alito may not go along with the majority in that, but I'm not even sure that Justice Thomas would be a dissenter because he had some very good questions about standing as well. So that's my gut feeling at this point.
Well, we always like to trust your gut. Marcia Coyle, thank you so much, as always.
My pleasure.